You're listening to Who's Talking. This is Jim Hobgood alongside Frank Maloney and our guest tonight in studio, Mr. Terry Gates. Momentarily, we will be joined hopefully by head Virginia tennis coach Brian Bolin, who's already down in Athens, Georgia, as the Wahoos prepare for the round of 16 tomorrow afternoon against the Duke Blue Devils, as Coach Bolin and the Wahoos continue to work toward what will hopefully be an NCAA title at the end of the rainbow. So, Frank, hopefully we'll have Coach Bolin here momentarily.
Yes. Brian has been with Virginia now since 2002, having been hired away from Indiana State. He's generated, I now think, three national titles on the indoor championships, the ITA.
Three consecutive. I think we do have him. Good
news.
He's got
62 straight ACC consecutive team match titles, coming off an ACC championship this year. He's now in Athens, Georgia. Brian, are you there?
I'm here in Athens, Georgia.
Can you turn him up? Brian, you there?
I am here.
Very good. We're glad to have you. Brian, we were touting just a few of the highlights, and here you are in Athens, Georgia, but you got to face another ACC team again.
Yeah, that seems to happen in the NCAA draws over the years. This isn't the first time that we've had to deal with that. We had to do it against Wake Forest back in 07, but with that being said, that's okay. The guys are fresh. They're playing well. We're excited. I think we're in the best place we've ever been, and mentally and physically. We're ready to play.
Brian, unprecedented success in recent years. You come in as the number one seed. You've reached the quarterfinal round and the semifinal round a couple times. You've said a couple times in local media in Charlottesville and Richmond that you felt that this team was a little different. Tell us why you think this team is different and why you think that they can go ahead and kick the door in this year.
Well, one of the things I said is over the years, and this isn't something you usually say to the media, but it's something that I really believe and I think is now the time to say so. As a coach, you've had worries about this player or that player, or, you know, I feel like we might be in a little bit trouble here at number three. He's not playing up par. Right now, I don't have any worries. I really feel strongly about all our players from top to bottom. They're mentally and physically in the right place. We're very solid across the entire lineup. And we're playing with a lot of energy and enthusiasm that I've rarely seen coaching a college team. We're in a really good place right now. I'm excited. I look forward to getting started. We've had an excellent break. But more importantly, we use that break for efficient and quality training.
Coach, this is Jim Hobgood. First of all, with seven consecutive ACC titles, I hope you're going out to lunch at least once a week with Mike London and Tony Bennett. But so you can tell them how it's done. But nevertheless, I noticed in the paper today, Jerry Radcliffe wrote an article where he quotes you as saying, we still haven't played that complete match, which I found interesting. You have a team that's 37-1, ranked number one in the country, but yet you still think you might be able to reach a little farther. What did you mean by that?
We just haven't played our best tennis yet. I mean, despite the fact that I think over the last couple of weeks I really feel strongly about each guy in our lineup and that we're really in a strong place with each player mentally and physically, we have, like the most recent match, for example, in the regional final against Wake Forest, we played a good match, but we did not play a great match. We struggled at number six, for example. We started out weak at number two doubles. It doesn't mean these guys are not in a kind of place where they need to be now, you know, another week later. But what I was trying to say is, we still have not played that match where I said, this is the level that this team can play at. This is what I've been waiting to see all year. And from that standpoint, that's exciting. We're going to see that this week.
Well, that's exciting. What's it like down there, atmosphere-wise, down there in Athens, Georgia?
What do I like about Athens? Is that what you asked, Jim?
Well, you know, the atmosphere. What's it like down there? You've got some great teams down there all in one place. You've got the men's and the women's draws. It's a big stadium there. Give our fans sort of a feel for what it's like down there.
Oh, it's a great atmosphere. They run a great show here in Athens. You know, they'll get several thousand fans out to each match. It's a great tennis community. Certainly, we're excited to play here. It's a good college town in terms of bringing out fans. It's no Charlottesville, I might add, but it's a nice place. I feel biased towards the best fans in college tennis are hopefully on their way down, you know, I-80 or whatever to get down here to Athens to support this great team. I know we have a number of players, a number of former players and alums coming down to support the Wahoos in orange and blue. And, of course, Atlanta is one of our biggest alumni hubs where a lot of people work. And I know they're coming out in big numbers. So we need all the support we can get. With that said, it's a great atmosphere. Georgia does a great job. And with that being said, we are going to miss playing at home because there's nothing like home, especially in Charlottesville, Virginia, where you play in front of the best fans and best atmosphere in college tennis. But we're going to take that ride and bring it here.
You know, I know that based upon some earlier articles that I saw, didn't UVA break the attendance record this year for fans attending tennis matches?
Yes. In 2008, we broke the record. In 2009, we finished second. And in 2010, I believe it started back in 08 when we won it for overall attendance and individual match attendance. And then in 09, runner-up. And in 010, we've been back in the lead all year. We just simply have the best fans in college tennis. They come out in big numbers. They support us. They give us a boost. They're great tennis fans. They understand the game. They're passionate about it. And we're just fortunate. We're so fortunate to have them follow us around the country. I can remember back in 2008 in the semifinals against Georgia. We had a battle. We were number one seed, 32-0 going into Georgia. We knew it was going to be a tough match. We lost last match on, but we had several hundred Wahoo fans in orange and blue out there in the middle of the country in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Not exactly a great place to watch tennis, but that was a big effort by those people. So Atlanta's a little easier to get to. A lot of people already live here. It should be a lot of fun.
Well, Coach, I'm just going to say, don't diminish your own role in this. The success of the program has done a lot to creating that atmosphere relative to the fan base and everything else, and not to mention the fact it's great tennis. Tell us a little bit about, I know the match tomorrow, I think, starts at noon. If Virginia wins tomorrow, I think Frank indicated you look like you're in the bracket where you would play Stanford or UCLA next. When would that next match be?
Can you repeat your question? I'm sorry, Frank. I missed that one.
Yeah, I'm just saying you play at noon tomorrow against Duke. Let's be optimistic and assume you win tomorrow. You would play the winner of Stanford, UCLA, and when would that be?
Yeah, let me. I hope I understood your question correctly. We have a match. Of course, we play at noon against Duke tomorrow in the stadium courts here at Georgia. This is the third time we played Duke, obviously. They're a formidable opponent. I believe they're one of the top 10 teams in the country. They come in as a 16 team. But we've had two very good matches with them already this year. Once 4-3 down to the wire in Durham, and then a second for the conference championship during the tournament, 4-2. So we have our hands full right off the gate with Duke. And that's kind of one of those things that you just deal with. We're familiar with one another. And then, of course, the 8-9 seed is UCLA-Stanford. They're another conference match out of the Pac-10. So the winners will play the winners on Sunday. Saturday's a day off, so we go Friday, day off, Sunday, Monday, and the national championship Tuesday night at 6 o'clock if we're still fortunate to get there.
Brian, this is Frank again. You know, I remember just a few short years ago, Somdev won the NCAA championships there for the first time, and didn't he beat John Isner down there?
He did, and what a moment that was. Probably one of the greatest matches that has ever been played in two collegiate uniforms at an NCAA event. Somdev Devarman and John Isner went down to the wire at Georgia. Georgia had won the team tournament, beating us in the semifinals in 2007. And Somdev and John played a classic match and still is played as a classic on the Tennis Channel. Down to 7-6 in the third set, Somdev won that breaker. I'll never forget it. One of the greatest matches ever to be part of. I'm so proud of Somdev with 4,000 or 5,000 Georgia Dog fans cheering against him, and he just embraced that and loved it. It's the match that's still talked about today down here. Great gentleman, great guys for college tennis. John's gone on to be a top 20 player in the world, and Somdev is just one match short of making the main draw of the French Open tomorrow, so we'll see if he can do that. He's floating around 100 in the world. Of course, John's 140-mile-an-hour serve and 6'9" frame is moved him through the tour a little bit quicker than Somdev, but what a match and what a classic. So many people that love college tennis or just love tennis in general still talk about that one.
Well, hopefully you'll remember some of that mojo and use that in your locker room speech before tomorrow's big match. Of your players, Michael Shabazz, Sanam Singh, Jarmir Jenkins, Drew Courtney, Houston Barrick, and Lee Singer, is that your expected lineup tomorrow, 1-6?
It is, and they're all healthy and ready to go. So that's a very positive thing for us. I think, again, they're healthy mentally and physically. They're fresh. They're excited. They're ready to start. And, you know, you mentioned Tom Dev. I talked to him earlier today, and we talked about, you know, our practice this afternoon when we were on the two courts, one that he played John in the team tournament that I coached him, and he won 4-4. And then in that national championship match, I said, you know, Tom Dev, I'm looking at that court right now. And then he spent the time to write the team an email. A lot of our former alums are so excited about what we're doing. I know a number of them are going to try to come down and watch it. And we've been getting flooded with emails and text messages and so on. And let's go Hoos. Let's try to go through the final hurdle here. I know the guys hopefully take that as a positive and not as an added pressure. I think that's been something I've tried to manage with these guys. Enjoy this journey. You got a lot of people behind you. They know if you go out there and represent the university the right way and you leave it on the court, everybody's proud of you anyway.
Absolutely. Well, Brian, I know you have a very busy schedule down there. We don't want to hold you. We just want to wish you and the UVA men's tennis team the best of luck going forward, and go knock out those Dukies and gear up to take on that next opponent. And Habo, any final words?
Just good luck, Coach, and thanks for joining us. The one thing I can tell is I now know why you're such a good recruiter. Your enthusiasm is contagious. So just continue to motivate your guys, and we'll be certainly with you in spirit as you work through these next several days.
Well, Frank and Jim, thanks for allowing me to be back on your show. I want to apologize to you for missing the last one, but tell you what, I got tied up. I get so focused on the court, I can't let that intensity down, and that one got away. But you guys are gracious and nice to let me back on the show. Thanks for all you do for Virginia Athletics. You're the best. You got one of the best radio shows in the country. Thanks a lot. Love to come back, and thanks for all you do for the Hoos. Wahoo, wah.
Go get them, Brian.
Absolutely. Good luck.
Go Hoos.
Thanks.
All right. Well, we're going to look here at a few other sports real quick. It's nice to hear from Brian Boland down there at the NCAA tournament down in Athens, Georgia. How about men's lacrosse? Stony Brook, like we said before the break, Virginia is favored, but this is a tough team. These Seawolves hung with Virginia up on the turf field back when it was cold, and I think that was back in March. Holy cow. And
tough team playing on their field, as we talked about a few moments ago. Nevertheless, certainly Virginia, the men's team the other day, came out like they were on a mission.
Yeah, now, Mount St. Mary's.
If they can continue to, speaking of intensity, if they can maintain that intensity and have a lot of firepower on that offensive end. So hopefully Dom Starsha can get the guys ready to play and get another W and move on to the Final Four.
You know, I think this team, you know, is heavily loaded with seniors, but I think this team looks to Brian Carroll at midfield to finish some big plays. We know that Bocklet and Steele Stanwyck, the two attackmen, are going to play well. They've been consistent all year. We know Shamel Bratton is healthy. Ramel Bratton is on fire. Mikey Thompson adds a lot of energy at the midfield. He's a fine player, and have really enjoyed watching him lately. Wouldn't it be great if he had another big game? I think the faceoffs are crucial. Stony Brook has a guy that basically wins about 65 or some percent of the faceoffs. But when he came to Charlottesville, Virginia held their own with him. And I think if Virginia can neutralize him, maybe McDermott can do some damage.
And goaltending is important in lacrosse. You know, I mean, I thought that was one of the keys to the game the other night. Early on, Virginia's goaltender made several really big saves.
Adam Gittleman.
And that allowed the team to get off to, what was it, an 8-0 lead early on?
They just waltzed away.
Yeah, so had a great start. So hopefully that'll continue on Saturday afternoon. What, it's like 2:30?
2:30 on ESPNU.
All right, so it is on TV.
Right, so Virginia needs that game. Is that Sunday, I believe?
Saturday, I think.
No, hold on, Habo. Sunday at 2:30. The women are down at North Carolina at 1 p.m. playing against the Tar Heels, and that was a one-goal victory this year in Charlottesville and a nail-biter. So that's a grudge match. It'll be very impressive to see if the Hoos can beat the Tar Heels down there in Chapel Hill.
That's a tough one with everything they've been through, and you know it's a quality opponent. I kind of like the men. If you're going to if you can't play at home,
yep.
Why not? If you know you're at someone else's backyard, you know you got to come to play.
Right.
But I think the women have – Carolina's got a good program, and they're going to have to, you know, go down there and hang together and see if they can extend their season, you know, one more week.
Well, Julie Myers, the coach, has talked about, you know, using the saying with her team of staying together a little bit longer. And – I think I understand what she means, obviously never having been in that situation, but I can appreciate the way she talks about her team being very close-knit family, and I hope that Mrs. Love and Lexi Love can both get down there again to be with the team, because obviously there's a real connection there. And
well, I did see in the paper today that they do not expect them to attend the game in person. The other thing, off the VirginiaSports.com website, it does indicate here that the men's game is Saturday at 2:30. So what I would tell folks is check your local listings. Isn't that what they always said? So may have some conflicting information.
Well, both of these came from the same site. So,
well, there you are.
We'll put it on Facebook and update everybody tomorrow, because I'll double check that. But looking forward to these games this weekend, and wouldn't it be great if the tennis team could work their way back into the semifinals and give themselves a chance maybe to get into the championship match. That would be so exciting for Brian and the tennis players. And
we'd like all the teams to be successful, but you have to think that the lacrosse team, the tennis team, and even the baseball team have terrific opportunities to maybe win a national title in all three of those sports.
Well, they've certainly proven all year long that they were, you know, one of the top teams to be reckoned with. And all these coaches have been there close before, and you know, there's no reason to think that they can't do it.
Got to finish, though, Frank. You got to finish.
Well, I remember when you finished the Tar Heels down in Carmichael Coliseum or Auditorium when you made those free throws. I'll never forget it.
Auditorium. Carmichael Auditorium.
Well, they should bulldoze it by now.
Well, let's go to break now and come back for the final segment of Who's Talking Volume 1 and thank our sponsors, families, and others. So let's go to break. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.